All right. What's up from the Thunderdome, from the Spanctuary, from the Beat Haven? This is Anthony Frieda, and this is Bedum Biz. All right, in this episode, I go over a lot of drum parts that I like in songs, but I do a lot of playing, and it was actually fun to edit and listen to. So here's what I did this episode. I highly mixed the drums too, in like a production type sense, you know, to make the parts sound like they would have sounded, close to what they would have sounded like in terms of the character, the energy on the on the recordings that they're from. It's not perfect, so go easy on me. I am not a professional audio engineer by any means. I just do this shit for fun, to be honest with you. So, all right. Well, anyway, if you have any requests for songs you want to hear played by me, like the drum parts, if you want to break down, I'll break down, you know, one of the songs, just email me, bedumbiz@gmail.com. Yeah, and thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. I hope everybody's staying safe, and enjoy the episode. Ba-dum. So I think last week I was the only one talking, not we, me. I was talking about what kind of gets me excited about, or what got me excited about playing the drums. So I mentioned some, songs and movies that I saw that made me want to play. And a certain like angst and certain energy that was being, you know, performed with by whoever. So I mentioned like Dave Grohl and Nirvana. I think I remember hearing Smells Like Teen Spirit and being like, whoa, those drums. You know what I mean? Like that was like the first thing my God, those drums. You know, and same with Travis Barker of Blink-182, you know. And there's so many more examples. I would say Rage Against the Machine, definitely Brad Wilk on drums. And same with, so then that also means Audioslave too, because he was the drummer for that band too. Yeah, Incubus, totally. I forget the guy's name. Great drummer. You know, and I always was pulled in by the drums when I heard them. But I remember like working patterns out that I would hear. I would be air drumming in my bedroom, you know what I mean, to my favorite, you know, songs. And that's how I kind of, you know, maybe developed the ear, because I just kept listening over and over again and trying to figure out what is going on, you know. Anyway, that was last week's episode. Reason why I dove into that right away is because I might want to just continue that a little bit. I feel like I cut that topic off a little short, even though I went on and on and on a ramble. On a ramble on, like Led Zeppelin, but a biz, yeah. Speaking of Led Zeppelin, John Bonham, of course. The energy of that spirit behind the drums. You know, there are. I think that energy is the reason why the Winstons, I think I mentioned that on a prior episode about drum and bass music, how the Winstons, 60s band, their in their song called Amen, I think Amen, that's what it's called. But anyway, there's a drum break in the song, and it sounds like this. Whatever it is, that energy is in that sample from that record. And that is why when drum machines and samplers, you know, became available to music makers, we'll call them, that's why when they sped it up, that beat, and it was... that's why that worked for that style of music. That's why it was popular. They found like magic. Was it called? Sorry, they caught magic in a bottle. Is that the term? Lightning in a bottle. I think that's the term. Whatever. They found something gold. They found gold in that four bar thing. And then by fucking with it, you know, using digital technology and stuff, or maybe they used a record. Either way, they were able to manipulate the time and get that drum and bass feel, which, you know, that drum and bass feel, or even jungle, I think you can call it too. That style of music, again, I'm staying with that energy, right? So when I was able to identify that sound before I even knew it was a genre called drum and bass, I was able to identify that sound in movies, some video games, you know, maybe some TV shows. But the first thing that I think of is The Matrix, those fight scenes. If you can visualize those fight scenes in The Matrix, they kind of sound like the beat was that, but it was a little slow, maybe a little slower, but it was like... You know what I mean? It was kind of, they even swung it a little bit, like kind of. You know, something like that, you know. Very cool shit. Very cool. And if you could just see people just like fighting each other and blocking moves and flipping and throwing it into the wall and, you know, the wall busting through, you know, that's I'm immediately when I heard those beats, that's, I think of that. It's weird. I still think of those fight scenes in like The Matrix, but I also think of when it's faster, like, when it's like a lot faster. Sorry, I'm just manipulating my snare drum sounds here with big fat snare drum and I'm messing with some different sounds, but yeah, when I would hear. I think of Need for Speed, that racing game from back early 2000s. But, you know, that can maybe include, I saw the movies long ago, the first maybe two or three, Fast and Furious, you know, and that's about the time when they came out, maybe early 2000s. I bet you that music was in that movie. I bet you. So like movies and television, it's a good, there's a reason why somebody would, you know, whoever the composer is of the, or in charge of like composing music for a movie or a TV show or something, there's a reason why they would choose drum and bass and jungle beats. You know what I mean? It fit a character, an attitude, an energy that the scene in whatever it was, whether it was, again, movie or TV show, it needed. Music video also. Or something. Let's see. I remember like a reality TV show. I think it was Top Chef, maybe like the first two or three seasons of that. I remember back, man, when that came out. And they had like, you know, they're speeding around the kitchen trying to get their things together. And there's a high intense competition. And they were using, you know, That was definitely the sound that they were going for. So, yeah, it's cool. It's cool to be able to hear those references throughout pop culture. All right, let's continue. So, another, you know, kind of like, there are certain that energy I was talking about. I've heard that in... I remember hearing that. You could hear that within two bars, I feel. And so, you know, this song. You know, that's Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2. Definitely, without a doubt, that has that. So does another U2 song. I think it's... I think that's Bullet the Blue Sky. Awesome. Awesome tune. If I keep going here, I think the song Yellow by Coldplay is without a doubt an example of this. And it's funny because I teach my students this tune as like within the first, you know, couple maybe weeks or whatever. I say, hey, look, you know, you want to hear a song that you can play like right now? This is after a few weeks of playing. And this is the beat, no joke. It's in the front when the drums come in, it's. And then when it goes to the verse. Look at the stars, look how they shine for you. And everything you do. Yeah. So that's if you listen to that track, I mean, I'm not doing it justice, but if you listen to that track, those drums, he is fucking hitting those drums, man. And it's that's the beat. That's all the beat is. And it's just powerful, but it's such a sweet song. You know, if you listen to the lyrics, you listen to the production of the song. It's not a hard song. But those drums have that energy behind it. It's like, I guess because that album, I was on Parachutes, so that came out in 2000, I think. You know, and then back then, the trend was rock bands, so they wanted to sell rock, that rock vibe, but in a pop context. So that's what came out. If that album came out 10 years later, it would be different. But yeah, anyway, I recognized, without a doubt, I recognized in that song, that kind of energy. I'm going to keep going through. Like, I think I can reference Green Day. For sure, I can reference Green Day. I think definitely in Basket Case. I mean, I'm not even going to bother playing. I'm not even going to bother playing it. That, if you listen to that track, if I had the ability to go, if we were all in a simulation right now, I would totally go back. If I had the ability to, I would go back and be a fly on the wall during the recording of Basket Case by Green Day, because right from the very beginning, you know what I mean? That the energy behind that song, you know, it's interesting. With my students who can attempt to play that song, it's quite fast, quite hard. I mean, the consistency you need to have to be able to get through that tune is, and speed. It'll take you a while, years probably. So anyway, so the older students that I teach that I've attempted that, when we start playing the tune and I start clicking them in to try to like practice the part, man, they fall behind the tempo. And even when I sit down and try to show them, I even a little bit, right at first, fall behind the tempo. Now, I've been playing for years, practicing with metronome, over a decade. Why is it that even me, I fall behind the tempo? Here's my theory, and it's not because I don't practice enough and blah, 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 blah. I think it's because the song has an energy to it that transcends the click. You know what I mean? It feels like it's moving faster than it seems. And it takes, there's so much energy involved in it that's, I think, why you feel like you fall, you feel like you're falling behind or you have to catch up with it at first. And that's why they caught lightning in a bottle, man. I would love to be to go back and see that recording session. You know, how many takes? How many takes did it? Did they need? You know what I mean? How many takes did it take to get it? To get the drum track? Or I don't even know if did they record live? Did they have everybody, you know, in their own rooms recorded into the hooked up to the console? You know what I mean? Did they record at the same time? Did they multi-track? You know, either way, I would love to see, you know, same with, I mean, I can reference Led Zeppelin again, but like When the Levee Breaks, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Go listen to the When the Levee Breaks. That, those drums, I remember hearing those drums, not knowing it was Led Zeppelin, going, what is that? I want to know what song that is. That's the... That's that song, the beat. And it's funny because they apparently recorded that in a big stairwell. Big stairwell to like almost like a castle of a home or something. And, you know, they placed mics in certain... That's the rumor. They placed mics in certain parts of the stairwell and in the room. And they were able to get this delayed kind of... drum sound, big boomy drum sound, but the the bass drum and the snare drum had, instead of just, it was like, it sounded like, you know, like, I don't know if you heard that, but oh man, it's really hard to do. This is hard. You know, it's like, that's just the sound bouncing off whatever the structure was, the walls. I mean, I hope that's clear. I hope that's just not fucking nonsense from a nut job in its basement with a bunch of mics talking into a mic, thinking he's talking to an audience. I hope it sounds like something. And if it don't, fuck it. Let's see. Let's keep going through. Referencing songs with that energy. I mean, I think the first Foo Fighter tune I ever heard was Learn to Fly. I might have referenced that last week. If I did it already, I'm sorry. Why am I saying I'm sorry? Because I'm talking to nobody. But it goes... wow. I think I did reference that. But either way, when you go into the verse of that song, that song, by the way, is slick. Whoever produced that song, that's the drum beat to the verse. But check this out. I'm going to grab a tambourine. I'm gonna try to pull this off here, but it's like there's a the way that I'm gonna try to do this. Yeah, it's really hard to do. Fuck. If you have, oh man, I wish I videoed that. That was so stupid. Anyway, whatever. It's boomed. Got boom. Got tambourine, boom, got boom, boom, got tambourine. The drummer's not playing it. They added it in definitely afterwards. It has like a reverb on it, so it sounds like... But anyway, that little touch to that, is fucking brilliant. I mean, it's just like so tasteful, and it helps make the track special and memorable. All right, let's keep going here. I mean, fucking... That's My Hero by the Foo Fighters. Oh, who remembers what's this song? How's that song go? I'm not sick, but I'm not well. Yeah. Wait. No, that's fucking Green Day. What am I thinking? I'm not sick, but I'm not well. Whatever. Whoever does that song. I'm not sick, but I'm not well. I always felt like the drums in that were good. Oh, my God. Man, Crashing and Burning on stage. There's crickets in the room. Because there's nobody in the room. But if there were an audience, yeah, without a doubt, crickets, man. Sweating over here. Sweating. All right, I'm going to think of like two more because I got to wrap this topic up. I can keep referencing Led Zeppelin, but the guy, John Bonham, was just really tasteful, man. They captured some just, unforgettable, timeless magic and lightning in a bottle. Here's this song. By Led Zeppelin. Brilliant. Brilliant. Oh my God, I fucked it up. Don't you love when you have something in your head and it's not quite computing? Like one of my left hand was doing some extra shit it didn't need to do. Let me try that again. Yeah, that's Fool in the Rain by Led Zeppelin. Another classic. I mean, there's so many Led Zeppelin references for brilliant, energetic drum tracks. Here's another one. This one, I don't even remember the name of the song, but I know it off of Led Zeppelin 4, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, amazing. I mentioned Rage Against the Machine before. I should probably play a little bit of some of their examples. So I think, first Rage Against the Machine song I heard was in '99 when it came out, Guerrilla Radio. So, how's that one go? Amazing, really good drums. Same with as far as Rage goes. Let me try to think of one more. I love Sleep Down in the Fire. It's and then the fucking verse is so good. It's your world is my expenses. Oh, you recognize that beat? That's, there you go. Came out in the 90s. Makes sense. Came out in 99. Makes sense why they chose that beat, without a doubt. And then I mentioned Pardon Me. Incubus before. So like, Pardon Me is a song. I was teaching one of my students that, and that's a tough tune. But there's a part in the verse. Yeah, the verse. A decade ago, I was having a look in a book. But the beat to that is. Uh, and that all that shit, without a doubt, he was inspired by electronic music, without a doubt. I like that song "Nice to Know You" by them, because he does like this. Really cool in the beginning. It sounds like he's, again, it sounds like that drum and bass kind of thing. I think in the verse, it's like, what does he do? He does the... Really cool, really cool. He's definitely doing some drum and bass inspired shit on that track. Let's keep going. Let's think here. All right. We could talk about let's talk about this. Identifiable, and we'll say drummers that have recorded identifiable, or the song is identifiable within the first two measures. So, I just gave. I mean, we were kind of like merging this topic into another one. So, but I think that energy is part of it. So, but all those references I gave you, almost all of them, are identifiable. Now, to the common ear, some, not as many, but definitely a lot. Even if they don't, the people don't know, the listener doesn't know exactly like who, you know, who recorded whatever, who the artist is or the name of the song, but they've, it's like one of those things, oh, I've heard this without a doubt. Here's one. I mean, that's that John Mayer's song, Waiting on the World to Change. Without a doubt, that's recognizable. That's one of those songs, and I know this firsthand because playing a bunch of cover gigs and weddings, you start playing the song, and it's the drums only, you know? Those are the kind of songs I'm talking about, but it's the drums only, and people immediately know, for the most part. They immediately know what you're playing, and they're excited. That's a cool feeling. Now, that's why I love being a drummer the most. Recreating that magic and making it happen live in the room. And there's something about, especially in our modern day when we can literally just, you know, man, at this point, you tell a computer to do everything for you, you know, send your messages to somebody, you know, your phone, your whatever, laptop, tablet, you know, you tell it to send communications back and forth between family members, friends, and the significant others. You ask it to do so much. But like things like doing what I just did, that takes constant attention to detail. Like cooking for a bunch of certain dishes. I was just, I'm about to make a bolognese sauce. after I do this, and I'm very excited because I haven't done it in a while. It's kind of like a gluttonous, I would say, the way I make it, it's kind of like a treat gluttonous. It's, you know, if anybody doesn't know what that is, none of you are listening, there's nobody listening here, but if you don't know what that is, bolognese is a, it's basically a meat sauce, or a fucking gravy, if you're from, if you're Italian-American, and you're from Jersey, fucking gravy. Yeah, anyway, yeah, there's just, there's a lot of, you know, things and steps to that sauce that are very important that come, you know, go from like browning the meat, then cooking the onions and the garlic and the carrots and the celery in that, in the fat of the meat, taking the meat out and cooking those vegetables in the fat of the meat, then putting the tomato paste in because the tomato paste has to, we have to brown it so it takes out the tartness of the tomatoes. And then you add, I can keep going here, but eventually you get this amazing meat sauce that you could put over pasta. You could put it over, I mean, you could put it on a pizza if you wanted to. You could put it on, I use spaghetti squash sometimes, a really good alternative to pasta. So anyway, that takes constant, I can't just go and like set it and forget it with that dish. I have to constantly keep my attention on it until pretty much the end, which is when you let it cook for like 2 hours. But I mean, up that first hour is very crucial of the attention that's needed to it. So now, same with I've made like a tikka masala sauce, chicken. That even more, it needs even more attention because the spices that you're using, you know, do you toast the spices before you put them in the sauce? When do you add them? Like all of those steps are so important. You have to marinate the chicken in a yogurt marinade with some spices. I mean, all of these steps are very important. It takes your attention. So the reason why I'm bringing that up is me playing that beat that is a recognizable, immediately recognizable, identifiable song to you know, let's say common listener. Like, and they're excited. They're excited to hear the song. That takes an incredible amount of attention and work to be able to pull it off. I'm making something come alive. What's cool about it, it's almost magical because it's like, where is it? You know what I mean? Where does it come from? Where's the source? You can argue that the source, oh, well, it's coming from the drums. If it's being mic'd, oh, it's coming from the speakers. Fine. But where is all of that coming from? They're coming from my hands. My hands are doing it. My feet. Yeah, but okay. Where is it coming from? All right. Well, you know, your brain is multitasking all of these, commands. You know, putting them together. Fine. But where is it? Where is the magic of it coming from? And the only answer that I have is love. My love for the track, for the beat, the groove, the movement, the feeling. That, I think, is crucial. That's where that energy comes from. It's why I quit doing weddings and cover band stuff, because that love was depleted. You know what I mean? It was just at the end of the day, I had to just go, you know what? I'm working more than, I'm doing more work and not loving it. And I don't want to taint this instrument and my love for it. You know what I mean? So like, I'm going to see if I can, okay, here's a beat. Wham, wham, wham. Wham, wham, wham. I mean, that's an example, but that drum sample was used on the Fugees, Killing Me Softly, but also A Tribe Called Quest, Benita Applebaum. Great, great tunes. Both great tunes. Here's another one I could try to pull off here. Let's try it. So I think... let's see. Oh man, this is hard. That sounds like Juicy by I forget who did this, the original sample of it, but that's Biggie. That's another one. You start playing that, it's identifiable. So is this. Poison, Belle Biv DeVoe. I mean, there's so many of these, man. Let's see if I can think of another one. Oh, here we go. This is one I've played this, and usually the musicians are like, "Oh, I know that tune," you know. Although this is not a song I've played live a lot, but a couple times, and most of the time it's like, "Oh shit, I know that song." Here. The Rihanna song Umbrella, but then there's also a song that sounds just like that, and then this we played a lot. It was requested because we, you know, live in New Jersey, North Jersey, very close to the city. How's this? Wait, let me see if I can. Oh yeah. New York. What is that? Empire State of Mind by Alicia Keys and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Trying to do a Jay-Z impression. It's terrible. Let's try to think. This one is. Let's see if I can do this. Yeah, let's see if I can do this. Ah. Oh, man. How's this go? Whatever the fuck it is. I remember learning it years ago because I had to play it for weddings and gigs and whatever. What was that? Party Rock is in the house tonight. Yeah, that's Party Rock Anthem, LMFAO. LMNOP, LMFAO, whatever they're called. Yeah, that's another one. Recognizable. I mean, I'm trying to think of some other ones. Oh, here. This one's cool. This is one of the ones, like, if you're a hip-hop fan from the 90s, you'll recognize it. If not, I don't know what to tell you. But this one's a cool one. I like this one. How do I do this one? Vibrant Thing by Q-Tip. All of these songs I'm giving you here are all of those. They start with like a drum beat or something, and it's very recognizable and identifiable because it has some energy to it. You could tell too, like especially if it was a produced thing and not like a drummer playing it, but if it was in the studio and they produced this track, like these I bet you these producers were in the studio going nuts, like, oh shit, we found it, you know what I mean? I've witnessed that, you know, working with some of my friends who produce. It's like, yeah, you get so fucking excited because you've found it. You've stumbled upon it. You've constructed finally this fucking, usually it's like, this thing in my head, this beat's in my head, this rhythm, this energy. So to create it and hear it, you get so excited. So that's another one. And I'm trying to think of one or two more and then I'll shut the fuck up. Let's see. I mean, if you're a Radiohead fan, there's so many of these examples. Again, only if you're a Radiohead fan. Like, not just, I like Creep. I love Radiohead. You know, fuck that person. No offense, but yes offense. If you're a true Radiohead fan and you know the deep cuts and you know the albums, you know what I mean? Then you'll know this, that's Separator, King of Limbs, great album by Radiohead. Same with, oh yeah, that's All I Need from In Rainbows by Radiohead. Same with I don't think I can pull that off. Yeah, I don't know if I can pull that one off. Let's see. Oh, this one. I love this one. That's There from Hail to the Thief by Radiohead. Very, very good album. Very good song. Oh, this one too. Oh, I know. Wrong one. Jesus Christ. That's In Rainbows, the album. That's Weird Fishes. Same with Fifteen Step, same album, In Rainbows. Great album, great song. So I've already done like four or five of these, and yeah, almost every Radiohead fan would be able to recognize those. I'm gonna think of one more. Oh fuck! How did I not think about this one? Okay, I might have played this for fun at the end of one of the other episodes, but if you're an MJ fan, Michael Jackson, that is, how about this? If you like Michael Jackson's music, if you just can't help but moving and grooving to Michael Jackson's music, you'll know this. That's Wanna Be Starting Something off of Thriller. That's the first track to Thriller right there. That, I feel like that album, that is the start of the 80s. I'm totally wrong by that. But my opinion is that fucking, as soon as people put that record on and they heard bop, 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 boom, 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 that jump started the 80s, man. That fucking album is legendary. And it wasn't just MJ. It was the, what's his name? Quincy Jones, man, produced that. So, yeah, magic. Magic on that record. But, yeah. So, anyway, so those are those identifiable drums songs, sounds, songs, samples, whatever. And it's all about the energy and probably the love behind either the instrumentalist playing, the drummer playing it, or, you know, capturing that lightning during a production session. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, we found it, you know, making something come alive, basically. It's not tangible. We can't grab it. You know what I mean? I can't hold it, but I can play it, you know, and I can try to maintain it by playing it over and over again, repeating it, making sure it grooves. That's the fucking value of a drummer today. And not, I'm sorry when I say this, but I mean, it could count in some argument, but I don't know. I feel like electronic drums, for instance, I don't feel like it counts because you're not actually making the sound. You're just sampling. You're telling the computer to make the sound for you. And that sound could be changed by dialing in something or tapping a button. But I'm actually hitting these drums in a certain way I'm treating the drums, putting things on top of the drums or tuning the drums a certain way to try to recreate that thing in real life. I don't want a computer doing it. I want to do it organically. This here is a fucking three warped cymbals on top of each other of different sizes called a clap stack that I paid probably like close to $300 for. Do I have any guilt or any second thoughts or regret of buying it? Absolutely fucking not. I would buy that over paying my health care for 1 month. I would rather not pay my health care and buy this fucking thing than, you know what I mean? Because it's so listen to that. I mean, it's so good. I'm just hitting it with one hand. You know, I could do that. What's that one song? Lately, you've been to the same pool. It's like whatever that Rihanna song with the. It's like a. Or whatever it is. But that's like, so it sounds like a sample, man. It's so good. Anyway, I'm going on here. 47 minutes in. Shit, time to, I think I went, the last two I did were like long as shit. So there's no listeners, so it doesn't fucking matter. I'm just in the beginning of this shit. I'll tell you what's going through my head. I'll be a fucking honest and candid. I'm doing this as like this podcast is like, you know, I don't socialize a lot, and when I do, I like to speak openly and honestly. I don't like to fucking, you know, how in certain social situations you got to just like kind of put a box around the things that you should say and keep out the things that you want to say. Let's say, you know, because maybe your opinions won't be as popular or won't be a common perspective, whatever. Or you don't know how to say it without sounding like an asshole, whatever. That's me. So anyway, this is a way of getting out thoughts, ideas. You hear yourself say something, you learn the power behind what you're saying. And if you have self-awareness and a good moral code, sometimes we think things about ourselves, others, about culture, whatever, that are just, when we hear them out loud, it either reinforces the thought and goes, yeah, you know what? I actually do feel that. That's what I believe or whatever. Or that's what I think. Or we hear it and we go, oh, it actually doesn't sound as, there's something wrong with that thought. That thought's not completely coming from a place of evidential, tangible reasoning. So that's why I'm doing this thing. I haven't even released. This is the fifth episode. I haven't even released it, any of them yet. This is just like an experiment for me. You know, I thought it would be really cool to have a podcast, somebody talking about. You know, I'm going into detail about music, what I love about music and drums, and relating it to food and relating it to other art forms, whatever. Talking about my experiences, trying to make it entertaining to listen to because, man, I could definitely ramble on about the fucking nit and grit and the details of being a drummer, but I don't want to be like some of these drum nerds. It can't just be for drummers. I don't want it to just be for drummers. You should be able to listen to this shit and go, oh, fuck, that was cool. Or that's a cool thought. Or you could just go, but I'm not interested. But I see, okay, cool, great. You should be a musician. Any musician, I would hope, should be able to go, oh, yeah, cool, this is cool. But that's just like, you know, that's like my wish. But also, I have to, you know, think about, oh, okay, if I release this stuff, people be like, oh, this guy's just going on about shit. I don't really care. And that's fine, too. So I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about releasing them. You know, maybe just fuck it, you know? Because what am I saying on here that's like, other than cursing and shit? there's nothing. I'm not revealing anything about myself. So that's why I'm doing this podcast thingy. It would be so. I didn't even finish the original thought, which was I thought it would be cool to have mics set up behind a drum kit. So then that's like an added thing. If I'm talking about what I love about drums, I feel like when I'm hearing these podcast interviews with drummers that I like, they're talking about drums, but there's no. I would love to hear them give an example. But when I listen, you know, when you hear comedy podcasts with my favorite comedians, you know, they fucking are constantly trying to be comedic. I mean, and for fun, for their own fun. And I love it. Why as musicians, why can't we be silly or just dive into what we love and show? Give examples. If all I have to do is set up a bunch of mics around my kit and then just make sure I can get my vocal mic in front of me so I can yap, 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 yap. All right. It's not that much work. Really didn't take rocket science to figure out. So that's why I'm kind of doing it. I could play anything. It would be cool to be like, yo, let me get some requests. Like, hey, man, can you play this beat? And it's like some song like, oh fuck, all right, yeah, let me see if I can reverse engineer that, quote, reverse engineer. Or like, hey man, play some trap shit. Okay. Oh man, it's hard. But anyway, that's an example of like trap. It would be cool to do shit like that. Hey, can you play, you know, what would it sound like to do fucking calypso or I don't know, whatever. Yeah. So, I think I'm going to wrap this up and play you guys out. I'm trying to think. There's nothing else I want to talk about. I think I hit my points today. Yeah, I think I hit all the points I wanted. This is brought to you by nothing. All right, I'm gonna play. Crash and burn. I was trying to, I had an idea in my head, trying to make that idea come alive and improvise it in the moment, and crashed and burned. I think that's about it, guys. So I'll see you. Oh, okay. Bye, Anthony. The hell was that about? Sorry. It was kind of rude. Anyway, thanks for listening. Gonna have a guest on, or you're gonna hear a guest episode next week. So I'm very excited about that. And feel free to email badumbiz@gmail.com. Show your support if you'd like, or not. Just listen to it if you'd like to, or not. You can do whatever you want. Anyway, thanks for listening, and take care.